today, and I think we're just going live on Facebook as Bible Shots begins. So welcome to Bible Shots today, wherever you are around Australia. You're joining us live here in our Zoom meeting or online on Facebook. It's wonderful you can join us. My name is Robert Martin, and I actually work in the Melbourne City Bible Forum team, and so we're actually locked down here at home, and so I'm joining you from my kitchen here today. So thanks very much for joining today at Bible Shots. It's wonderful that you can join us. The theme for today, so we're having Sam Chan's going to be sharing it today. What would Jesus say to the fearful? Because COVID really has been a wake-up call. Life has been uncertain and is full of many dangers and challenges. There's so much to be afraid of. And today's Bible Shots, Sam is going to be introducing us to a man who also faced uncertainty, disease, and death. So we're going to see what Jesus says to this man and says to us today. And we're doing this with Sam Chan. So Sam is a national communicator with City Bible Forum. He's regularly speaks here at Bible Shots and other City Bible Forum events around Australia. And he's a regular speaker at many churches across Australia as well. Sam, it's great that you can join us today, but something seems to have happened to you. Do you want to just give us a bit of a background or a bit of explanation to what's happened to your face?
You can see this dressing here. Like, seriously, talk about uncertainty and not having control over anything. It was just a little pimple on my chin, but it just kept spreading up my face, going down my neck, going towards the base of my tongue. So all of last week, I was going in and out of hospital emergency departments. The doctors couldn't do anything. In the end, it came down to I just happened to have the private phone number of an ENT surgeon. He saw it. He admitted me into hospital. I had 2 days in hospital. IV antibiotics, and he had to operate. He actually had to go cut it out from going through the inside of the mouth to scrape out the infection. And you can still see there's still some after effects there. So it's taken me 1 or 2 weeks to recover, including surgery, antibiotics, and a two-day hospital stay.
Wow, that's a pretty dramatic thing to happen to you. But are you able to speak okay? Like, you're able to join us fine today to be able to share?
We will see. That's the beauty of these live recordings. Even you and I don't know. I don't know where I'll be in 30 minutes' time. Sure. Life is full of uncertainties.
So if you do fall over then, Sam, then at least we'll finish earlier.
Well, there's nothing anyone can do. Like, we're all right in our own rooms. Like, what do we do?
Yeah, so that's the challenge for today, Sam, is to make sure, is to see if you're going to, that's the tension, is it? To see if you're going to stay awake.
It's high drama.
High drama. Well, we're going to read a passage from the Bible in just a moment, but if you have some questions for Sam today, please put them in the Q&A. If you're here in the Zoom meeting, put them in the Q&A there. Or if you're watching on Facebook, make a comment in the Facebook chat there, and then we'll make sure that those questions get to Sam as well. So Sam's going to speak for about 15 or 20 minutes, and there'll be some opportunity for Q&A after that. But before that, I'm going to read a short part of the Bible, which we're going, the shot for today, that Sam is going to share with us. So I'll just get that up for us now. It's from the book of Mark, which is one of the four biographies of the life of Jesus that we have. And it's from chapter 5, verses 35 to 43. While Jesus was still speaking, some people came from the house of Jairus, the synagogue leader. "Your daughter is dead," they said. "Why bother the teacher anymore?" Overhearing what they said, Jesus told him, "Don't be afraid, just believe." He did not let anyone follow him except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. When they came to the home of the synagogue leader, Jesus saw a commotion, with people crying and wailing loudly. He went in and said to them, "Why all this commotion and wailing? The child is not dead, but asleep." But they laughed at him. After he put them all out, he took the child's father and mother and the disciples who were with him and went in where the child was. He took her by the hand and said to her, "Talitha kum," which means, "Little girl, I say to you, get up." Immediately the girl stood up and began to walk around. She was 12 years old. At this, they were completely astonished. He gave strict orders not to let anyone know about this and told them to give her something to eat. Over to you, Sam. Sorry, Sam, the live tension, you're on mute there. You need to unmute.
Yeah, it's just so exciting. Well, during a COVID lockdown, there's not much we're allowed to do. We can't go to schools, we can't go to weddings, we can't go to funerals, but the government still lets us do a few things. The government lets us exercise outdoors, we can still buy alcohol, and we can still get a haircut. But I don't know about you, but when I go get a haircut, I feel like I'm doing something very dangerous, something very death-defying, something very unsafe. And that's what COVID has done. COVID has reminded us just how dangerous life really is. Before COVID, if we want to do anything dangerous, we had to do something like skydive or rock climb or ride a motorbike. But now with COVID, everything is dangerous. Just going to a restaurant is dangerous. Just having a family get together is dangerous. Just singing in church is dangerous. Everything is now dangerous. And so there's this fear and uncertainty that has crept into our lives. So our question today is this: what would Jesus say to the afraid? This is a series that I like to do, which I call the What Would Jesus Say series, where each time Jesus meets a person in the Bible and we ask this question: what would Jesus say to this person? And what does Jesus say to us today? And today our question is this: what would Jesus say to the afraid? Because in the Bible reading that we just heard, Jesus meets a man who is afraid. And we're going to answer this in a 15-minute Bible talk from me now, followed by some question and answer from you guys. So in the Bible reading that we just heard, Jesus meets a man who is afraid. We meet him in verse 22. Then one of the synagogue leaders named Jairus came, and when he saw Jesus, he fell at Jesus' feet. Jairus pleaded earnestly with Jesus, "My little daughter is dying. Please come and put your hands on her so that she will be healed and live." So Jesus went with him. In this story, Jesus meets a man named Jairus. Jairus is the local religious leader, the synagogue leader. He's a man who's honorable, of high social standing, very well respected. He is a leader in the community, but he's also desperate because his daughter, who's only 12 years old, is sick and dying. And he falls at the feet of Jesus and he begs Jesus to come with him because maybe, just maybe, maybe Jesus can heal his daughter and save her life. So what would Jesus say to Jairus, and what would Jesus say to us today? Well, to those of us who are afraid, Jesus says three things. And the first thing that Jesus says is this: life will be full of uncertainties. Verse 35, while Jesus was still speaking, some people came from the house of Jairus, the synagogue leader. "Your daughter is dead," they said. "Why bother the teacher anymore?" Here we hear the tragic, terrible, terrifying news that Jairus' daughter is dead, and there's nothing that they can do. And here we're reminded just how life is full of uncertainties. There's so many things that we cannot control. Many of you know that I have three young boys, and I love to joke that having boys is like having a beer. You have one and you think, whoa, this is good. Imagine how good two would be. So you have two, you think, hey, this is good. Imagine how good three would be. And then you have three and you think, oh, we should have stopped at two. But all jokes aside, we love having three boys. But people often ask us, did you ever think of having four? And the answer is no, we never wanted four, simply because it is impractical. Because of pragmatics, it is impractical to have four children. In our modern Western storyline, we are not meant to have four children. If you have a family car, it assumes you only five people. A dinner plate setting is only four people. And most hotels only take four or five people per room maximum. In the modern Western storyline, we are not meant to have more than two or three children. Now, why is that? Because in the modern Western storyline, we have this assumption of progress, that life is predictable and we can control life. In the modern Western storyline, in the white-collar professional storyline, it goes like this: I will grow up, I will graduate, I will get a job. I will meet someone. Maybe we get married. We'll have one kid and then we'll have another kid. And both these kids will grow up to be healthy. But now we know how just naive this is, because we cannot predict life. We cannot guarantee the outcome of life. The future is out of our control. Now we know, because of COVID, there's no guarantee we will graduate. There's no guarantee we'll have a job. And really, there's no guarantee we'll meet someone. There's no guarantee that we can have children. And there's no guarantee that children will grow up to be healthy. And it's a little sad reminder that in many pre-modern cultures, that is exactly why we would have to have 5, 6, maybe 10 children, because there was no guarantee that all the children would survive childhood. And my father grew up in China, and he was one of 6 children. And sadly, one of his siblings died when he was young, and so he became one of only 5 children. And so there's this reminder that life is unpredictable. It's full of uncertainties, because up until now, we've had this story of endless progress in the West. We put a man on the moon. We invented the seedless watermelon. We invented a driverless car. It's just progress, progress, progress. But 2020 has been, boom, the wake-up call for all of us, because we had bushfires that we could not control. And then as a sad joke, straight after the bushfires, we had floods that we could not control. And now there's a coronavirus that we cannot control. This has been the wake-up call for our modern Western white-collar professional storyline. When I went to med school, I got taught this story of endless, endless progress. I got taught this when I went to medical school, that we once used to die in our 20s and 30s from infectious diseases, but then we invented vaccines and antibiotics, so we don't die in our 20s or 30s anymore. Then we used to die in our 40s and 50s from accidents, but then we invented seat belts and airbags, so we don't die in our 40s and 50s anymore. Now we die in our 60s and 70s from cancer and heart disease, but we'll soon cure them. And so this is the idea that we're gonna live forever, but just boom, overnight, 2020 has come, and so no, we cannot predict the future, and we're back at the mercy of infectious diseases. It's like we've wound the clock back 150 years. So life is full of uncertainties. We cannot guarantee the future. Life is unpredictable. We cannot control the outcome of our lives. So what should we do about this? Well, this brings us to the second thing that Jesus says, and it's this. Trust Jesus with the uncertainties. Verse 36, Jesus told Jairus, don't be afraid, just believe. Jairus has just found out his daughter is dead, and Jesus says, hey, don't be afraid, just believe. This is the part of the story I don't get. This sounds to me to be so insensitive, so uncaring, and so naive from Jesus, unless we really can trust him with the storyline. During the COVID isolation, my family got to binge on movies, and I got to introduce my 3 young boys to the whole Star Wars saga. But my youngest son, he found it to be very scary. He was terrified of Darth Vader. He was terrified of the stormtroopers, and he was terrified of the evil emperor. When he was watching it, he was so scared, his little body would shake and tremble. But then he'll look at me and say, but Dad, why aren't you afraid? And I said to him, well, it's simple, because I've seen it before. I know the storyline. I know how it ends. And Jesus says to Jairus, just trust me on this. Right now, none of this makes any sense, but it's all part of a bigger story. It's only one chapter, but there are many more chapters to come. Trust Jesus. He knows how it ends. And it's the same for all of us. Our life too will be full of terrible, terrifying tragedy. Our lives will have trauma. We will suffer death, disease, divorce, separation, heartache. And then we really only have two choices. Choice number one is this. You know what? The universe is uncaring. We're just atoms and molecules. We're just another species of life on this planet. We're just a blip in the timeline of the universe. Things just happen and the universe doesn't care. And viruses come and go, bushfires come and go, floods come and go. They are just things that happen and the universe does not care. But we have a second choice, and it's this. You know what? The universe does care. There's a God who loves us, who made us, and who saves us. And everything that's going on right now, no matter how much it hurts, no matter how terrifying, terrible, and tragic it is, even though it doesn't make any sense to us, it's all part of a bigger story. There's a wisdom behind what is going on. It's only one chapter out of many chapters, and we just have to trust God with the storyline. Trust his wisdom on this. He's got it all under control. So after we've handed our uncertainties over to Jesus, what do we do next? Well, this brings us to the third thing that Jesus says, and it's this. Jesus is our certainty. Verse 40, Jesus took the child's father and mother and the disciples who were with him, and he went in where the child was. He took it by the hand, and he said to her, Talitha ka'um, which means little girl, I say to you, get up. And immediately the girl stood up and she began to walk around. She was 12 years old. At this, they were completely astonished. And Jesus gave strict orders, not to let anyone know about this. And he told them to give her something to eat. Jesus comes in and he takes control. He is the one in control. He is the one that we can hang all our certainties upon. During COVID isolation, we all behave in strange ways. If we were in the United States, we stockpile on guns. But in Australia, we stockpile on toilet paper. Apparently, out of all the countries in the world, we stockpiled on more toilet paper than any other country. But why do we do this? Well, according to psychologists, we look for what are called certainty anchors. We have to anchor our certainty on something. And what do we stockpile on? That is our certainty anchor. And toilet paper is a good certainty anchor because it's pretty certain we are going to need toilet paper. And so it's a good certainty anchor. And somehow you feel safe with rolls of toilet paper. Well, in this story, Jesus comes to be our certainty anchor. In the whole story, he is the one in control. He walks into the funeral and he says, hey, don't mourn. She's not dead. She's asleep. He's the one that walks up and grabs the child by the hand. He's the one that says, get up. And get up she does. He's the one that says, shh, don't tell anyone and get us something to eat. He comes in and he takes control. We can hang our certainties upon Jesus. Now, at this point, time out. Are we saying Jesus will always be guaranteed to take away death, disease, separation? No, we can pray. They're good prayers to pray to Jesus. But I think there's enough in the story to hear that this isn't what Jesus does all the time. That's why he says, shh, don't tell anyone, because this isn't what he would normally be doing. So there's no guarantee that he will answer our prayers each and every time. But the guarantee is this: we can trust Jesus' biggest storyline for us. We can trust he has a wisdom behind what's going on. And the biggest certainty anchor for us is that if we trust Jesus, we can be part of his family. We can be a child of God. And there will be a day in the future when he says to us, my child, get up. And get up we will. And we will see Jesus once and for all. And that is the greatest certainty anchor to hang on to. So do you remember our original question? It was this. What would Jesus say to the afraid? And in this story, Jesus has said to Jairus, and he said to us that, number one, yes, life is full of uncertainties. There is something terrible, terrifying, and tragic about what happens to us and how we can't control the future, and there's so much uncertainty. But number two, we can trust Jesus with our uncertainties. He knows what's going on. Trust his storyline for us. And number three, make Jesus our certainty anchor. He's the one thing we know for sure. A few years ago, I went to a dinner and I sat next to a man who I'd never met before. And because it was a Christian dinner, I simply asked the man, well, how did you become a Christian? And he said, well, it was because of the GFC, the global financial crisis. He had a friend who was in business and his friend lost everything. His friend lost his house, his car, his job, but he seemed to be okay. So this intrigued this man to ask, how are you okay? Like, if I lost my house, my car, my job, I would not be okay, because that is where I find my value, my meaning, my certainty, my purpose. And this man simply said, well, because I have a God who loves me, who made me, who saves me, and nothing can take that away from me. And that's when this man realized, well, I too need a God who loves me, who made me, who saves me, and something that no GFC can take away from me. How are you going? Like, 2020 has been the wake-up call for all of us. 2020 has been the wake-up call for me. I work a few days a week as a doctor. And, you know, in the Asian storyline, a doctor, that is the dream job, because it is so safe, it is so secure. But when the COVID virus hit, it was suddenly not a safe job. It was the most dangerous job. Suddenly we were on the front line where the virus was. And you're suddenly thinking, hang on, I chose medicine because it was safe. And suddenly it was the most unsafe job. And suddenly it wasn't secure either. During lockdown, they shut down all elective surgery. And so for 6 weeks, I had no income. So suddenly I had the most unsafe, most insecure job there was. It made me take stock of my life. Like, where do I find my identity, my security, my status? If I find it in what I do, in what I own, in what other people say about me, even what I say about myself, well, anything can take that away. That is the most uncertain thing you can hang your life on. But Jesus comes and he's the most certain thing we can hang our life on. If we put our trust in who he is and what he's done for us, nothing can take that away from us. No bushfire, no flood, no virus, no death, no disease, no tragedy. So Jesus comes and he says, make me the one certain in your life.
Thanks very much, Sam. That's great to hear your story. And also, it's wonderful that you managed to make the whole way through without your sticking plaster coming off there, and you managed to get the whole way through that message.
Yeah, I don't know how much I'm allowed to share. I don't know whether it's a G or PG rated thing. But yesterday, I had to pre-record a talk for a church. And the whole time I'm giving the talk, this thing was just oozing more and more blood and getting wetter and darker. And it's going to be so distracting. I think I'm just going to pre-record that talk for that church. No one can sit through that sermon. So I'm glad. I actually double layered it this time just to make sure I got through the 20 minutes.
Yeah. Haven't got too many questions coming through just yet, but if you have a question, please put it in the chat in Facebook if you're watching around Australia, or if you're watching on the Zoom here, then please put it in the Q&A function there. I just wanted to maybe just unpack a little bit more about what you're saying there, Sam. So you've mentioned a lot about trusting Jesus, but what does it actually mean then to trust Jesus practically? What does that actually look like?
Yeah, so trust is such a great word because it captures. We believe Jesus, we're loyal to Jesus, and we just somehow trust that he knows better than what we know. And the example I give, and I'm so sorry for overusing it, but it's so relevant, is every now and then I sit in the passenger seat and I let my wife drive. And my wife, objectively, scientifically, logically, is a better driver than me. She's lost less points than I have. She's had less accidents than I have. But at that moment, I find it the most scary car ride. Like I'm trying to tell her, hey, you should go left. You should go in this lane. And suddenly I'd go, no, you have to trust her. trust her. Like she knows what she's doing. She knows how to drive. She knows where she's going. I think this is the moment where we just have to trust Jesus at his word and trust he really is who he is and trust in what he's done for us.
So maybe then just to unpack a couple of other things that you've just said. So you mentioned that Jesus is no guarantee when it comes to, you know, some of the challenges that we might be facing in our lives today. Then how can he be trustworthy then if he isn't a guarantee?
Yeah, it's... So the Bible has some... So it all comes down to how we understand God dealing with us, the role of prayer, even healing, for example. So mm-hmm. we have these stories of Jesus healing a girl, not just from disease, but death. But then we have these counter stories where Paul prayed many times for God to take away the thorn in his flesh, but somehow God never did. Mm-hmm. And at that moment, Paul realized, well, you know what? God could take away the thorn in the flesh, but the fact that he has not means there must be a loving, powerful reason for what's going on. And I'm just going to submit and trust God's plan, God's purpose in this. And the story I love to give a lot is, as a parent, the hardest moment is that moment where you hand your child over to the doctors when they're an infant to go for their vaccination injection. And as you hand your child over, the child at first is smiling, think, oh, what's going on? And suddenly when the doctor plunges that needle into their thigh, that your kid looks at you with big eyes, horror, like they've been betrayed. And they don't know what's going on. They don't know it's a vaccination. But suddenly their eyes relax again and they look at you and you can see, they think, you know what, based on your track record, up until now, you've always done what's best for me. So I don't understand what's going on here, but I'm going to have to trust you on this, that somehow you know what's best and there must be a loving, powerful reason for you allowing this to happen to me.
So maybe you didn't, maybe your third child, when you handed them over to be vaccinated, maybe it was a slightly different experience perhaps to the first two, as you've just said.
Just callous by then. Yeah.
You're callous. So how does your youngest feel about, you know, what you've just shared about you kind of wished you hadn't had a third?
Oh, no, fourth.
Okay, right. Okay,
oh, yeah, but the... I hear you. I used to tell that joke all the time. I had ministers come up to me and say, you cannot say that, and you cannot say that in front of your children. But, you know.
One more final question, Sam, before we wrap up. So, but then how then do I know that I trust Jesus?
How do I know? I think just knowing that I'm loyal to Jesus, that he's the one that I put my identity, value, meaning, and purpose in, that I know he's more than just a good teacher, more than just a good man. He really is divine. He's supernatural. He's the Son of God. And I'm just going to trust his word that he really did rise from the dead. But more than that, he's going to raise me from the dead. So it's almost like, all of life is full of trust. All of life is full of trust. So how do I? So when a teacher says tomorrow morning at 9 o'clock there will be an English exam, I trust that teacher at her word by turning up at 9 o'clock. Like I really just have nothing more but just her words and my experience of her to go on. Many years ago, when I got married to my wife, and my wife said she would be at that church to marry me, I turned up trusting her word and my experience of her character. But that's all I had to go on. And with Jesus, all we have to go on is his past record, our experience of him, his words. But up until now, he's not failed us. So I'm going to trust him on this. He really is the Son of God. When he says, I'm forgiven, I really am forgiven. When he says, I'm a child of God, I am a child of God. I have that status and I need to behave like a child of God. And also, just like you said to that girl, my child, get up. I know there'll be a day in the future when I'm in the grave and I'll hear those words from Jesus. My child, get up. And I'll hear his voice and get up, I will.
Terrific. Well, thanks very much for sharing today, Sam. It's been wonderful to hear you. As you've reflected, you've given us a shot of the Bible, which is what we're aiming to do here today. If you have any more questions or if you'd like to investigate this more, then please contact someone from the City Bible Forum. Send us a message. And we can connect you with some other people. If you'd like to read more of the Bible, perhaps you'd like to connect or read some other parts of the Bible, you'd like to find out a bit more, then please contact someone at City Bible Forum. We'd be very happy to help you. But next week, we're back again with some more, another shot of the Bible. And next week, we have Lachlan Orr, who's usually either emceeing or speaking here. He's going to be sharing as we continue reflecting on the book of Ruth in the Old Testament, which actually does, again, deal with some issues of pain and suffering. So anyway, I hope you have a wonderful afternoon and look forward to seeing you back here next week as we get another shot of the Bible. So until then, have a great week. Thank you.